Right. All right, thank you. Welcome. What is friendship? We've had an example of what I call true and wonderful friendship, Eunice and I, over the past couple of weeks. First, Neil and Karen, I think some of you know this, came, they'd booked a house in Torquay, and they came and fetched us, wouldn't let us take our car, took us out every day, we had our own bedroom, we didn't have to do anything, no washing up, taken out for food, weren't allowed to pay anything. We had a glorious week of that. We come back and we do have a funeral to take in London. So we went up last Sunday, which is why you didn't see us. And they thought, well, a bit much for me to drive up Sunday, come back Monday. The funeral was Monday. So Dean drove us all the way up. First time he'd ever come into a church, he stayed for the funeral on the Monday and for the crematorium and back to the church afterwards for refreshments and met people. First time for him in that kind of atmosphere. So that was all lovely, the help we got. We come back and then on Friday, just gone, David and Cathy. David was a member of my youth club years ago, went to a comprehensive school in London, played truant, played football for my football team, came to church, was a bit of a rogue, but we got to know them over the years. They came down to the diamond wedding. They've come down once every year, apparently, to see us. But this time they said, look, in big gatherings, we don't get time to see you properly. So we're coming down on Friday. We will be staying at the Bickington Mill Hotel. Bickley, that's right. And take us out. They took us out all during the day, some lovely lunches and stuff. And then in the evening, we went back to Bickley Mill for a lovely meal. They wouldn't let us pay anything. We had a glorious day with them, just with the two of them. And when you think that David is 20 years younger than me, so if he was, what, 16 when I met him, it was a long time ago, and they've kept that going all this time. So we really felt wanted, and it's been lovely, and it's good to know that, you know, some old friends stay. I've got a sister and two nephews. I've not heard of them for I don't know how long. It's not always family that are your best friends. Anyway, now we're going to be serious. We've come to worship you, O Lord. We've gathered in this place. We've come to praise your holy name, to seek again your face. And Jesus, you have promised that when we gather in your name, you are in the midst of us, and this promise we now claim. We come today with many needs you alone, Lord, can meet. Through Jesus, we come now to you. We approach your mercy seat. And Jesus, you have promised that when we seek your face, our cry for mercy will be heard, and we will receive your grace. Thank you, Jilly.
Thank you, Bruce. 3 to 4 beginning. So we're going to sing All My Days, I Will Sing the Song of Gladness. Into He is Lord.
Thank you.
come to the Lord in prayer now? Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you. We rejoice in your blessings. We trust in your loving care. We bring our prayers to you this morning. We pray for the created world, for those who rebuild where things have been destroyed, for those who fight hunger, poverty, and disease, for those who have power to bring change for the better and to renew hope. We pray for our own country. We pray for our Queen. We pray for those in leadership who frame our laws and shape our common life, who keep the peace and administer justice, for those who teach, for those who heal, for those who serve their community. We pray, Lord, for people in need, those for whom life is a bitter struggle, those whose lives are clouded by death or loss, by pain or disability, by discouragement or fear, by shame or rejection. We pray for those in the circle of friendship and love around us. We pray for the gentleman where Deborah lives, Roy, who has sadly passed away very suddenly, and we pray that you would be with his friends and family. We pray also, Lord, for Stuart. We do miss him being not with us, Lord, and we pray that you would constantly be his companion. We pray for a miracle. We pray, Lord, for less pain and for more mobility. Be all that he needs. We pray for Rachel, who's not with us today, and ask that you would be with her and with her family. We pray for all who are especially in our thoughts today, our own loved ones, our own friends, those who are so special to us. We pray for them. We pray for the church in its stand with the poor, in its love for the outcast and ashamed, in its service for the sick and neglected, in its proclamation of the gospel in this land and in this place. Eternal God, hear these our prayers, the spoken and the silent, through Jesus our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all praise and glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. Over to Jilly for our next song.
So we're going to sing, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, forgive our foolish ways. And then the second verse reminds us of the calling of the disciples and how we're also called to follow Jesus. Just so you know, the intro is the first line, and then into the song.
Thank you.
come to the reading. The reading is in the service sheet. I think if I'm correct, you turn over to the third page. It says Bible reading, and Jean is going to read it to us this morning. Thank you, Jean.
Reading, as you can see, is from Acts chapter 15, verses 13 to 21. When they finished, James spoke up. "Brothers," he said, "listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, 'After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name,' says the Lord, 'who does these things, things known from long ago. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath.'"
Turning over the next song. Thank you, Jenny.
We're going to sing "All to Jesus, I Surrender."
Trusting
before we look at the message before us, I want to welcome you both. Your first name?
Robert.
Bernie. Well, Bernie. You're both very welcome, and it's lovely to have you with us. I think you've been with us before. You have, yeah. Yeah, good. Well, it's lovely to have you. Now, when we come to the message, we're going to have a look at the epistle of James over the next few weeks, and so we'll be looking at verses in various sections as we go through the whole epistle, but today it's just one verse, because the title is Who Was James? And because we're going to celebrate communion, our message is a shorter one. So who was James? Well, first and foremost, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the way that he introduces himself. Now, James is a popular name from the Old Testament name, and it comes from the name there of Jacob. But several men have borne this name in the New Testament also. And I want to give you an example, because this is not the only James. There's James, the son of Zebedee, and the brother of John. There is James, the son of Alphaeus. There is James, the father of Judas, the disciple. And there is James, the brother of our Lord. So there are all those other brothers. But anyway, we're going to look at what this particular brother says to us in the coming weeks. James and the other brothers of Jesus did not believe in Jesus during his earthly ministry, and yet they were found in the upper room praying with the other disciples. Why? Because Jesus had not only preached among them and they'd not believed, but he had died on the cross and he had resurrected and ascended. And of course, this would have challenged them, and they would have realized that this Jesus that they didn't believe was truly who he said he was. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 7 indicates that Jesus appeared to James after his resurrection, and that this convinced both James that Jesus was really the promised Savior. So there's part of the answer. James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Paul calls him a pillar, and James moderated at the church conference in Acts chapter 15 that we heard from. When Peter was delivered from prison, he sent a very special message to James. Now, we have no biblical record of the death of James, not historically, but it is thought that he was dragged from the temple by the Pharisees and beaten to death. But like Jesus, we are told, he prays, "Father, forgive them." What kind of man then was this particular James? Well, he was a deeply spiritual man, and according to Corinthians 9 verse 5, he was married. He was a man of prayer. And he said he spent so much time on his knees that his knees were as hard as the camels. He spent so much time on his knees praying. That's an example for us. He was a Jew who was brought up on the law of Moses, and all this comes, as we will find, through his letter. But James, while still an unbeliever, must have paid a lot of attention to what Jesus taught because of the various similarities there are in his own teaching. So whom did he write, James? Well, it says he wrote to the 12 tribes that were scattered. In other words, to Jews living outside of Palestine, to Christian Jews scattered, dispersed because of persecution. But on the other hand, this is where God works. Yes, they were scattered because of persecution, but that gave them the opportunity, like seed, to spread God's word. So, you know, not good to be thrown out, but good to be put in a place where you can go on serving the Lord and speaking of him, his love, and his salvation. They were rejected by other Jews, and yet also rejected by Gentiles because they were Jews, but they didn't give up. So why did James write his letter? Well, each New Testament letter has its own special theme, its purpose, and its destination. The Christian Jews to whom James was writing were having problems in their personal lives and in their church fellowship. Hence, James was appealing for and encouraging among them a spiritual maturity. They needed to grow in maturity if they were really going to get rid of the problems that they were having within the Christian fellowship. You know, when I think of James, we'll come to the different things that he says as we look at his teaching, which is be starting next week. But as we look at it, you know, one of the things that James talks about is the use of the tongue, or the misuse of the tongue. And my goodness, what a challenge that is to us. Because this tongue can bring out lovely messages of encouragement, but it can bring out some horror. We can say things that we'll regret the rest of our life if we're not careful. James hit rarely on that and many other things that we need to be challenged about. So just all I want to say now this morning is, how can we get the most of this, what we've heard today? Well, one, we must be born again. Two, we need two parents. What do I mean? Well, we need the Word of God and we need the Spirit of God. To really know Jesus and be part of his fellowship, to know what salvation really is, we must be born again, yes. But then we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Word of God will help us to mature. It will be our spiritual food. And as I know only too well, you can't stand up and speak unless you have the power of the Spirit within. This bloke here was shy, was a nuisance, was a rebel, but someone took over. It wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God. We all need the Spirit of God. We need the gifts of the Spirit, and we need the fruit of the Spirit. What a good witness if we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So there we are. We must also obey what God teaches. We must be prepared for extra trials and testing in our spiritual journey. Yes, we've got to expect it. Look at all the trials that Jesus had. And he was the one sent to be the perfect one to deal with our sins. But he had trials and testing. And we will find that we will have them. There will be people who try and take the mickey out of us. There will be people who will try and persecute us. But we've got to put our trust, haven't we, in the one that will help us survive all of this. And finally, we need to measure our spiritual maturity, and here it comes. We need to measure our spiritual maturity by the Word of God and not by other Christians. Don't try and be like someone else. We measure our spiritual maturity by the very Word of God itself. Next week we'll start our study on the first chapter of James in the Apostle. In the epistle. God bless you all. Over to Ginny.
So now we're going to sing Filled with Compassion for All Creation. Jesus came into a world that was lost.
Yeah.
Now we come to take communion. It was Jesus who said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And the communion this morning is open to all who want to take it. If you do not want to take it, you just let the bread and the wine pass by. The wine is not alcoholic. We eat the bread as we are served with it. We retain the cup until we've all been served so that we can drink together. I want to share with you, different from sometimes, but a different calling to the table. Here is the table of the Lord. We are gathered to his supper, a foretaste of things eternal. This is the table, not of the church or of the pub, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. Come not because it is I who invite you, it is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Look, here is the Lord's table, spread out as for a feast. Bread for breaking, wine poured out for drinking. Signs of his love and hospitality. Symbols of his life broken and his blood poured out. He is not dead. He is risen and present among us, evidence of God's grace and promise. So we come in faith to the table, you and I, companions on the journey, some of us fresh and eager, others may be weary and in need of nourishment. All of us are conscious of our failings. So come. Let us not hesitate. The table is ready, and it is the Lord himself that invites us. So let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for this bread and wine, which are but symbols of your body and your blood given so freely for us. We take the bread in remembrance that Christ died for us, and we feed on him in our heart by faith with thanksgiving. Jesus also took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it," Jesus said, "do this in memory of me." And we retain the cup until we're all served, and then we drink together. The very precious blood of Jesus was shed for us and for many for the remission of sins. Let us drink and be truly thankful. God of grace, you have called us to be your disciple people and gathered us to your table. Empower us by your Spirit that we may be gospel people, sharing the good news with others. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we ask this prayer. Amen. We'll just return the cups and then we will sing our last song.
Last but by no means least, I, the Lord of sea and sky. Now, here's our challenge. The song is a challenge. It's the Lord speaking to us, and the response is, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord?" I hope we can all sing that with great meaning this morning. The other challenge is, Richard isn't singing on this one. But he's with us. And there are some instrumental bits, as you may remember, in the middle of the verse. And then again, between the first chorus and verse... No, I'm looking at the wrong one. Got my script here. there's an instrumental between chorus and verse as well. And we end with two choruses and then slow down. So, it's a wonderful song. If you can follow me, and I'll try and get it right, but I haven't got a huge voice this morning, so... anyway, the main challenge is the chorus. So I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. Thank you, Stephen.
As is our custom, we will stand, hold hands, and say the grace together.
You're in the circle.
play Richard.
Oh, he's in the circle.
Oh, there he is. Oh, is he? I've left him on the fireplace.
Hey, who's he?
Is he Bernie and Rob here?
Right.
Oh, you're holding my.
May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.